Okay. Not three, maybe three. All right. Do you guys know what this is? What is this? Stethoscope. Very good. And what do we use this for?
Checking hearts.
Checking hearts. What else? There's another thing. Sometimes they listen to your back, to listen to your air balloons in your lungs, right? What else? Lindsay, do you know what else? Oh, no. Well, it helps me know what you're thinking. You didn't know that? Okay.
It is scary.
Okay. So can I see what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so Lindsay is thinking, why in the world did I come up here? Right.
Okay, let's see.
Joe, do you mind? Okay. Okay. Joe was a little concerned that I was going to mess up her hair, but I didn't. It was good. Okay. I'm doing pretty good. It's pretty cheap, too. I bought it at Walgreens. Let's see. Angie, can I? Okay. Angie wants to use my microphone to sing a little song. Do you want to? No. Oh, okay. Well, she just got a little embarrassed, I think. Okay. Do you want me to figure out what you guys are thinking? No. Okay. Well, okay. You guys really think that I know what people are thinking?
No,
I didn't ask Lindsay because, you know, I just knew that she was game for it. I did ask Joe and Angie if I could beforehand. But who can? Who knows what we're thinking? God. Yep. So it says, Luke 5:22, Jesus knew what they were thinking. And it says in at least five different places in the Bible about how Jesus knows what we're thinking. So that could be a good or a bad thing, right? For us. So good thing, if we're thinking good thoughts, then Jesus is proud of us. But we can't hide our bad thoughts from him, can we? So how do we change that? You know, have you ever gotten really, I know, just work with me. Have you ever gotten a little frustrated with your sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right. Thanks for going along with it. What can we do, though, to not think bad thoughts about other people? Because it's human. And God tells us in the Bible, I know what you're thinking, because he knows what we're thinking and what we're prone to do. Have you ever gotten so frustrated about somebody and then you prayed for them? Have you ever prayed for like an enemy for good things to happen to them and for God to take care of them? It kind of helps change your thoughts about them. So maybe think about that the next time, if this ever happens, if you ever get frustrated at somebody, think about praying for them, and it might help change your thoughts because Jesus knows what we're thinking. So can we pray? All right. Our Father, we want our thoughts to be pleasing to you and to your son, Jesus. This can be so hard. So we pray that you'll help us to replace the bad thoughts we have with godly thoughts. Thoughts that are guided by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. So today our gospel reading is from Matthew 5:33-37. I'm actually going to read it out of the Common English Bible, so there may be a few differences if you're looking in a different Bible. But this is Jesus talking, once again, the Sermon on the Mount. It says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those who lived long ago, 'Do not make false solemn pledges, but you should follow through with what you have pledged to the Lord.' But Jesus says, 'But I say to you that you must not pledge by the earth because it is God's footstool. You must not pledge by Jerusalem because it is God's city of the great king. And you must not pledge by your head because you cannot turn one hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Let's pray again. Lord, allow these words to be yours. Allow this message to go in through our ears, down to our hearts, and back out through our mouths through this week, that you would shine your light through us. You allow us to be spokespersons for you. You allow us to bring your kingdom past these four walls, that you allow us to take it out in the community. Soften our hearts, open our ears to hear what you would have us hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So, for those who missed it about, I think, 2 months ago, I was here for a two-week stint covering for Pastor Zach. But if you weren't here, my name's Connor Morrison. I used to serve as the director of youth ministries at Grace United Methodist. That's where I met Zach. But since the last time I came here, I wanted to give you guys a little update. I've gotten married 3 weeks ago. Sadly, my wife woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning with a cold. And the reason I had her stay home is the next part of what I'm going to share. Next Sunday, I start as the pastor at Hillsdale United Methodist Church. So, we got to move in this week, and I don't need a sick wife when we're trying to move in. But enough about me, and on to the message. So, in honor of a late Father's Day, I want to talk a little bit about my dad. Throughout my childhood, one of the statements that I had heard the most was, "Do as I say, not as I do." I'm sure everybody's probably heard that once or twice. And a lot of things, I might believe that. But there was one thing that I learned from watching my dad do. And that is to be a man of your word, no matter what. If he told you he would be there at 5 a.m., he'd be there at 4:55 with bells on. He would be there no matter what. And on the flip side, as the scripture says, if he told you not to do something, you better not do it. So, as the scripture that we read today says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Do you have a person in your life that you can trust on that when they say that they say yes, that no doubt they will be there, that no doubt they will do it, that no doubt they will come through? Maybe it's your father, like mine. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe your boss. Maybe a close friend. And all of these are great. And you can see what they are doing with your own two eyes and just sometimes be in awe. But do you and can you trust God's yes to be yes? Can you believe him when he tells you today the same words that he told Joshua? Be bold and courageous. Do not be afraid, because the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. Can you trust Jesus when he says that through trusting and believing in him is how we are saved and our key to heaven? Do you trust Jesus again when he says that he leaves the Holy Spirit so that we can do greater works than even what he did? From my point of view, the Holy Trinity can be trusted. It's yes is yes. But do we always trust that? I know for me, I struggle from time to time fully believing when God tells me yes to something that the human side of me makes me a little uncomfortable sometimes because I can't physically see it. A few months ago, as I was already going through the steps to become a pastor, looking at the possibility of a church starting July 1st, I thought, let's look on the youth ministry website to see if there's any openings. And, of course, I found one. In my hometown, full-time, good-paying, a ministry that's already thriving. I was a top candidate. I knew the whole area. Even though God had called on my life to become a pastor, not a youth pastor. So I thought I had this job that was in my comfort zone. That's the first statement that I was going the wrong way. It was in my comfort zone. And once again, I really knew, talking to some of the pastors there, that I was a top candidate. But before I even had the chance to interview, they had a concern that the church that I used to work with would conflict with their church and possibly pull people from churches, and that's the last thing they want to do. They don't want competition between churches. I fully understand that. But I went from thinking in a moment that I had a good shot at this comfort zone job, this easy job, this nice job, to what now? Not thinking about what God had already said yes to, what God had already told me, what I had felt was the right way to go. As I was praying that night, I felt the words on my heart. I did that. As I kept praying, I remember back to when God had called me into pastoral ministry. God was leading me that way. And in my personal opinion, that was his way of putting up a roadblock, saying that, no, I don't want you over here. I don't want you in your comfort zone. I'm leading you towards becoming a pastor. That was not a comforting, easy night or a comforting, easy week, because being young as a pastor, there are struggles. But sure enough, he did provide. As I mentioned earlier, not even a full week after I had heard that I wasn't even going to get an interview for the job, the district superintendent invited me to go to a conference for moving pastors, where he told me about my appointment to Hillsdale United Methodist Church. I am so excited to see where God is blessing and leading this church and I. Now let's take a step back, and I would like to touch on one more part of this scripture before I let you go. In verse 34 of our scripture today, Jesus says, "But I say to you that you must not pledge at all." Some other versions say swear, or swear an oath at all. And then he goes on in a paraphrase to talk about what isn't ours and what we can't do. And in simple terms, what he is saying is that we cannot claim or we cannot boast to anything due to the fact that our lives and everything in it is truly God's, not ours. Our jobs, we got by the grace of God. Our families, we got by the grace of God. Our houses, we got by the grace of God. And even our lives, we have by the grace of God. And what God wants in return from us is to believe in his Son that died on the cross and his blood was shed so that our imperfections can be forgiven, and so that we can shine a light in this dark world. So if a God that created us blessed us with all these things in our lives, wants us to be a light for him, and he wants our yes to be true and our yes to mean yes, how are we doing? Are we fully that person that people look at and they say, yes, he will be there on a moment's notice if he agrees to it? Or do we struggle from time to time? I know that I struggle, and I've already admitted that I struggle with listening to God's yes. And I know that others struggle, and I know that from time to time we all struggle with sin and our yes meaning yes and our no meaning no. But the least God deserves from us is a simple, emphatic, non-wavering yes. Let me repeat that. The least God deserves from us is a simple, emphatic, non-wavering yes, since he has done the same for us. Amen.